Hi, this is Aaron Eisberg, Nog from Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and you're listening to Beyond Trek. You can follow them on Twitter at Beyond Trek Pod and on Facebook at Beyond Trek Productions. Thanks for tuning in, and may the Great River provide.
This is Beyond Trek Podcast, your source for Star Trek on social media and around the web. I'm Big J.
I'm Watney.
And I'm Dag, the Trivia Master. You can find us on Facebook at Beyond Trek Podcast and on Twitter at Beyond Trek Pod.
Wow. So here's what we've got today, Watney. I know it's hilarious. This is great. So hello, everyone. It's got our, or at least I do, the Beyond Trek Productions shirt. It's awesome.
I didn't get a shirt.
If you want a shirt, I'll get you one. Yes. Okay. I will buy you a shirt. We need that now.
Christmas present.
Yes. Since we're doing video. And also, it's No Shave November. So that's why I look like a hot mess.
Well, I'm doing great. I look fine.
You look fine. And I need to get like a Star Trek related picture in the background right now.
It's, oh, yeah.
Didn't really think every bit of this through. But anyway, so here we are. Star Trek 4 is back on the menu. Actually, it's technically 14. It's the 14th movie in the franchise.
But we're talking Kelvin.
Yes. In the Kelvin timeline, we're calling it Star Trek 4. So, Noah Hawley, is that how we're pronouncing it? Noah Hawley.
I guess.
Yeah. He's the showrunner for Fargo and Legion, and he's going to be writing and directing this. So I guess no J.J. Abrams. We're not going to get the lens flares. That's a good thing, right?
You know, they've been so controversial.
They have been.
That I'm almost hesitant to say if I like them or not.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't
want to upset anybody.
No. We don't want to go there. So
yeah. I mean, we will say it's a diversion of style from the Prime.
A diversion
universe.
Of style. Very.
And diplomatic. That's a fact. Yes. So.
Very diplomatic way of saying it. Well, so in Justin Lin's 2016 Star Trek Beyond didn't really perform to studio's expectations. It didn't do bad. I believe it did turn a profit, but the budget was here, expectation was there, and I think it did like somewhere around there. So what they want to do with Star Trek 4 is, of course, to decrease the budget on that. We were going to have the first female to direct a Star Trek film in the franchise, and S.J. Clarkson. There's going to be a time travel scenario where Chris Pine's Kirk meets Chris Hemsworth playing his dad, George Kirk.
Playing daddy.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
In a time travel story. Now, here's one of the problems that I have with that is Into Darkness was like Star Trek 2 Part 2. Star Trek Beyond, don't you think?
I like Into Darkness. Don't
I do.
Skewer me, please, people. But like, I really like Into Darkness. I am a goth at heart. I say that over and over on this podcast. But I like Into Darkness. I like the tension. It just sticks out in my head for some reason.
Right.
And that's, I think, why I like it is because it's like very memorable. And for some people, memorable in a bad way. But for me, I just like the intensity. So...
Right. Well, and we have that. And by the way, for anyone watching, listening, there's going to be spoilers. Don't know exactly about what or when or where. Probably going to be about the Kelvin timeline. So if you care enough not to get spoiled, you might want to stop listening. If you don't care, keep listening. But so here's my thing about Into Darkness. It was like Star Trek 2 Part 2. And then when we got to Star Trek Beyond, it wasn't very similar to Star Trek 3 in as much as, okay, so in Star Trek 3, we lose the Enterprise. In Star Trek Beyond, which is the third movie in the Kelvin timeline, we lose the Enterprise.
And
Star Trek 4, The Voyage Home is a time travel piece. And Star Trek number 14 was intended on being a time travel thing. So I think there were just probably a few too many similarities, too many parallels going on there. And it didn't work. It didn't come through because the Paramount Studios, and they're, you know, ever evolving logic decided, well, let's decrease the budget. Beyond didn't do as well as we wanted. So the answer to that is let's make the budget even lower so that it's a little easier to make a profit. Mm-hmm. And apparently the Chris's, Pine and Hemsworth, were approached to take a salary decrease from their contract.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yes.
But they didn't like that.
Right. Yeah. That's an oh, hell no. Nah. From
the Chris's.
We're going to call them the Chris's. Yes.
Along with Chris Evans and who's the guy from Jurassic Park?
They're
all Chris's. Like,
yes. Right.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just funny.
So right. So their answer was to ask Chris Pine to take a pay cut on that, which he did not want to do. They did not want to pay him what was in his contract. They wanted to decrease that. Chris Hemsworth, now at this point, he's a much bigger star in Hollywood now.
Trying to get Thor.
Yes.
You're
trying to get Thor. You're not trying to get unknown Australian actor Chris Hemsworth like you did for Star Trek 2009.
I know. You're such a baby. Such a baby. He still had like those squinty eyes. I mean, he still has squinty eyes, but like just smoldering, you know. He had that so much more back then. But you know, I guess being Thor opened his eyes or something.
Right, so. Right. It did. So
neither of them wanted a pay cut. And I'm guessing we lost Chris Hemsworth, right? We lost Thor.
Absolutely. He did not see the script of that story as an interesting or exciting way to bring in that character. It just didn't appeal to him. And you know, he can turn things down these days. But talks broke down. It wasn't going to happen. Chris Pine didn't want to take the pay cut. Hemsworth just wasn't real enthused about the direction. Mm-hmm. So it went on the shelf. It went on the shelf. They even debated at one point of having a Star Trek movie without Captain Kirk.
That's ridiculous.
That would have been just ridiculous. Yeah.
I mean, I think, he's kind of like a Skywalker. Everything's kind of about him.
Yes.
I know that's a dirty word, Skywalker, but it's kind of like a Skywalker, and I'm just ready. Like, I would be fine. I would be totally fine because, you know, I've experienced like writing and creating in areas where like Kirk doesn't exist. And so I think you can definitely have viable stories. Mm-hmm. Are you going to have relatability? Not relatability so much, but are you going to have that nostalgia? Are you going to have like people love Kirk? I love Kirk. I've seen him a lot.
Yes.
You know, but people like him because he's like a rogue maverick. And so
he's too important of a character to not have.
Yeah.
And you can't
even though what happened in Generations.
Correct. Yes. Yes. In Generations, which I listened to the podcast that you and our co-host Dag did on Generations and the Uniforms. And he, you know, there's a spoiler warning. All the time. You don't know where it's going to come from. So sorry. Yeah, that little thing about Kirk got spoiled there. So anyway, the challenge here for this director is keeping the budget down. Now, Star Trek movies have generally been pretty cost effective. Got a stat here. I'm looking at. Generally, budgets have been within the 150 to 185 million range. Mm-hmm. So the challenge is bringing the success of the television storyline that he's done with the grand stories and it's been heavy on themes of morality and time, and taking that television landscape, that budget, translating that to a big screen success, but also not make it look like, well, this is something that we could have just watched on CBS All Access. So
straight to TV.
Right. Straight to TV, because the streaming with Discovery and with Picard coming, these look like little mini movies. I mean, the production values are pretty high. It's not like going from TNG to the TNG movies, you know, going from the series to the movies where there's a very noticeable change in budget effects, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
You pretty much kind of have close to the same par possibility of look. Now, especially when you're trying to keep the budget down, that can play into it. And
maybe it'll be like 80% in a desert or something.
A desert adventure? No. Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down whenever. Just get crazy, you know. we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens because this is happening. Right? 2021?
Right. Yes.
Maybe?
Yes, that's right. Well, see, in 2021, I've got that again here. So there's going to be a Indiana Jones 5? What? Another one? And a Mission Impossible 7.
Okay, well, so, that's...
Yeah.
Who cares? But Indiana Jones, crowded. Yeah. It's right. Going to be crowded, but like, it's Star Trek, and you know the fans are going to show.
Yes.
Because it's Star Trek. You know, especially the Kelvin?
The Kelvin
or Calvin? Okay.
Kelvin.
Kelvin. Especially the Kelvin timeline. Mm-hmm. It's so Hollywood.
It is.
You know, it's like everyone, you know, came out of a catalog. Like, everyone looks amazing.
Everyone's fresh and amazing.
Everyone's like looking slick. All the uniforms are tailored beautifully. Just everyone's hot, you know. So it's different, I think, in that it's, you know, I think people are going to go see it for sure. Now, I think that I wonder how different it's going to be from like Beyond, because I didn't really like Star Trek Beyond. I didn't like
you 3. Didn't. Wow. Okay.
No, because there's like this one scene I remember where they're like on dirt bikes or something, and they're like going in circles around like some kind of shit. I'm like, I really do not. This looks cheap. I just remember thinking the first time I saw it that this looked really cheap. And I did go and see it because I love Star Trek, but like the makeup was really nice. You know, like you had that new alien with like the shell. Like, they did really good on the practical effects side. And it was great because you were off the ship for a majority of the time.
Yes.
You know, you were crash landed. But I just hope that they kind of, with this story, maybe, do we have any information on the narrative? Besides stuff that they scrapped the timey-wimey father reunion.
That was definitely scrapped. The only thing we have right now is just the thought that because they took someone in TV, that would be someone that has already worked in that constraint of having a lower budget and telling a great story. So I really think it's going to be more story oriented, not so much action, et cetera, et cetera, which... Maybe okay. Maybe I'll do that. And actually, going from a smaller landscape in television or film, and then being able to turn it into success on the big screen—that did happen. That happened with the director of Thor Ragnarok, Taika Waititi. And I
love it.
I had to listen to his name a few times, and I'm pretty sure I got it
to pay him respect.
Right, absolutely. So let's do this. So one of our other co-hosts, Dag, was not able to make it with us. He's out on the road traveling, but he did have a few things to say about the news of Star Trek IV, now just plowing through, being back on the table. And so let's take it to Dag and hear his thoughts and feelings on it.
Here are my thoughts on what's going on with Star Trek IV, just recently announced. Things we're talking about today with Beyond Trek, Justin Lin's Star Trek Beyond. I'm really not impressed that this thing bombed at the box office. I saw it 3 times when it came out. I got the cool promotional poster. It's framed in my house. And I just can't believe that this failed so bad, because to me, it was the most Star Trek of those 3 films. It felt like the one that broke away the furthest from the other 2 movies, headed up by J.J. Abrams. The first one was just a contrived plot to reboot the series. The second one was Wrath of Khan Part 2, the second. It just Star Trek Beyond just broke the mold for those two movies and what they'd set up expectation wise. As an example, you know, the Star Trek has been about teamwork and overcoming the odds and using thoughtful solutions to problems that other forces, even in universe, would prefer to fight and you know, physically. And just the example in Beyond, where the crew is on the bridge of the Franklin and one of them is analyzing the signal that's keeping the enemy ships all bound together and connected. And the other one, somebody else on the bridge is like, wait, we can exploit that. And some of the other, like the engineers and the alien woman, gosh, I wish I could remember, Jayla, she's like, wait, hold on. And they're all throwing out these ideas that come together to be, wait, we can blast Beastie Boys to annihilate this fleet, which, okay, yeah, that's a bit of a little contrivance as well. But still, they were smart about it. They put together a plan that relied on technology and not just photon torpedoes and phasers or beating the pulp out of each other after crashing your ship into San Francisco. So that was really awesome to me. On another point, it had been rumored that Chris Hemsworth was supposed to reprise his role as George Kirk from Star Trek 2009. And of course, given the success of both Chris Hemsworth and Chris Pine in the box office since 2009, it makes sense that they would prefer to have a payday that reflected that. I don't know if Chris Hemsworth had a deal with Paramount to have a certain number of movies under his belt for Star Trek, but of course he died in a 30-second cameo practically. Chris Pine, on the other hand, had previously been known to sign on for four and then walked away when the budget dispute didn't pan out. So are they going to bring these guys back? Obviously, the way fandom works these days is if you can't bring the original actor back, you kind of suffer at the box office. You know, that didn't, maybe Marvel just has enough of a foot to be able to play with that. Of course, you know, Marvel brought back Mark Ruffalo as Hulk, and also Rhodey was replaced for Iron Man 2. Don Cheadle just owns that role, by the way. But the Kirk, the James Kirk meets George Kirk plot, you know, of course, that was hinted at in the first one when Spock told young Kirk that his father lived to see him become captain of the Enterprise. And in this universe, his dad died saving a bunch of people on the Kelvin. I'm not sure how well that would be done. It would be great to be touching. But if it needs to be done well, they're going to need to invest the budget to bring these guys to the role, because Hemsworth and Pine just, I don't think they've been allowed to flourish in these action-y dramatic moments. You know, you have your action roles and you've got Thor and you've got Wonder Woman, and then you have the dramatic moments. If Thor was in, you know, some that war movie with the horses. Gosh, I really wish I knew the names of these movies better, but I don't. But anyway, if you really want them to flourish in Star Trek, you're going to have to pay the bill. And also, Paramount is trying to compete with Star Wars by making Trek Star Wars. We know that J.J. Abrams was not a Star Trek fan. He's always been a Star Wars fan, and he jumped ship to go do Star Wars. Paramount is trying to replicate the success of Star Wars. But if the fans wanted to see Star Wars, they would go bloody see Star Wars. You can have Star Trek in action go hand in hand. Look at The Wrath of Khan. Look at Star Trek VI. You know, the action has to make sense for Star Trek. You can't just have these contrived light speed missiles blowing up planets. You got to have, the action has to make sense, and the fans have to believe it. All those action scenes, they were well placed. They made sense. And they don't follow the now expected script of land battle, space battle, lightsaber battles that fans have of Star Wars, even though the new trilogy is cleverly subverting those expectations. But again, I lost my faith in what Disney's doing with Star Wars from The Last Jedi. Also, they're bringing on a new director who is well known on the small screen. I haven't actually seen Legion, but I did follow the comics, so the character is really interesting to me. I just don't know how to access FX right now. But I feel like, you know, Taika Waititi was in the same boat. And, you know, if you've ever seen Hunt for the Wilder People, you can see what a creative and clever and resourceful director can do with a low budget and really good acting and really good guidance on set. He took Thor to an entirely different level of success that the franchise was heading towards. A lot of people refer to the Dark World as the worst installment in the cinematic universe. The first one introduced Thor and we went with it. And the second one was more of that with a little bit of out of place humor. And the third one just owned it. Ragnarok is top three for me all time MCU. And that leads back to Hemsworth being able to own a role in action and also do a range of feelings throughout that scene. If he were to come back for Star Trek IV, can this new director bring to Star Trek what's sorely lacking? And that is the heart of the franchise, of finding those odd solutions and maybe even having a diplomatic solution. Remember Star Trek, the motion picture, they didn't have to fight their way out of V'ger. The diplomatic solution was that Will was going to merge with V'ger and go on to something else. Star Trek IV, they were able to communicate with the probe and get it to go away. They brought the whales back. The other Star Trek movies, yes, they may have fought their way out of situations, but those situations were called for. They weren't forced in. So I really look forward to seeing what happens with Star Trek IV. If it gets greenlit, I'm going to be behind it. You know I'm going to see it, and you know I'm going to critique the hell out of it. Because you don't have a franchise last 50 years and not have a level of some expectation that it stays true to its core message. And that is people working together to bring about a greater future for humanity. And that DAGS, something that rhymes with DAGS, being critical about stuff. You can find me on Trek Nexus. You can find me on Twitter at Trek Nexus. And always hit us up at Beyond Trek Pod. Cheers.
So yeah, that was DAG's take on Star Trek IV. A lot of good things that he talked about, and a lot really made sense, especially if they're go more of the route of drilling action down your throat, doing more of a teamwork, collaborative, we've got to get through this situation together kind of deal. So we're going to see. I guess we're just going to have to wait and see. So Star Trek IV, really, it's the fourth movie in the Kelvin timeline, the 14th overall for Star Trek. So Watney, I don't know about you, but I will be probably one of the first in line to see this. I love Star Trek. I'm going to go watch it and give it that chance.
Yeah, I'll probably do it. I'll see it for sure.
Well, you have to watch all the movies leading up to that. So you're completely involved with all of Trek.
Yeah. Now, well, we can have a marathon.
Yes. Yes. We're going to do a marathon. Now, just to address the one elephant in the room about this movie, there's been a lot of talk of Anton Yelchin's character of Chekhov. What are they going to do about Chekhov? Well, they've gone on record. The studio has gone on record. We will not recast Chekhov. They're just not going to recast the role. So we're not going to have Chekhov in this movie. I think what we're going to get is either nothing, which I think would be a shame. We would get a cat's tail. No, I'm sorry, not a cat's tail. We would get a mention of him being on the Reliant, because the Kelvin timeline's kind of played around with the timeline in their own version already. As you know, in the original timeline, we lost the Enterprise around 2284-ish. in this.
I mean, how many times have we lost Enterprise?
Right. A few.
They need to stop using that. While I'm on the record, they need to stop using that as a way to make the audience feel something. Because now I don't feel anything. Ever, but that's a separate problem.
That's a different problem. You solve that, that's a whole other podcast.
That's a whole other issue.
I mean, we have the motion picture that's in 2279 when that takes place in that timeline. Mm-hmm. Some point between that and 2283, we have. No, I'm sorry. Let's see. TOS. The 5-year mission was 2266, 1779, 1770, around 70-ish. Enterprise was redesigned, refitted, launched around 2271 or so for the V'ger incident. Supposedly went on another 5-year mission after. So somewhere between 2276 and 2283, Chekhov is on Reliant as first officer. So they may just decide to take that and just put it as this happened. Now this movie is in whatever their version of the 2270s, but Chekhov's already on Reliant. Because everything changed because Nero. So I think that's what's going to happen there. We're not going to get a recast of Chekhov. He's going
I don't think they should. He needs to be honored. You know, he died a very, very awful death. Yes. And just, you know, it's so sad to think about. It's just so sad. You know, and he gave us a wonderful, wonderful character. And so hopefully we can get some mention, even if it's just you see him on a roster somewhere on a screen or something. Yes. Or you see a plaque with his name on it. You see a statue. Someone mentions him in passing or something. You know,
give us something.
Give us a little something, kind of like with Nog, you know, Captain Nog.
Yes.
Of that. So, hopefully they find a way to do that. I'm sure they're in the writing room.
I'm sure they're hard at work at that.
Hard at work, yeah.
Now you've got me in the mood to watch some Star Trek, so let's wrap this bad boy up so we can go watch some Star Trek.
Why
don't you close us out with how can the listeners and the viewers see more of us?
I'm so glad you asked. So thank you for listening. You can find us on Spotify and Anchor. In all major podcast platforms.
Beyond Trek Podcast.
Yes, Beyond Trek Podcast on Spotify and Anchor. We are going to be doing more videos. So in the link of this podcast, we will be putting a link to our YouTube channel. So you can check that out. You can see a recording there of this very podcast that you're listening to. And check us out on our Facebook group, Beyond Trek Productions, and on Twitter at Beyond Trek Pod.
Yeah, Beyond Trek Productions is kind of like a big overall, the Beyond Trek podcast is like this arm of it, and there's going to be more stuff that's part of it. So yeah, right now it kind of confuses me because there's just the Beyond Trek podcast arm, but think of it as
like a doing business as and also we have a Patreon, patreon.com/join/beyondtrek. You can check us out there. We would love if you were one of our patrons, and we do offer special benefits for different tiers.
There are some good benefits there.
Good benefits. And you can even hang out with us if you're a certain tier. So
if we raise enough money, we're going to get Watney a Star Trek related beanie to wear.
I need a beanie. What if I put my comm badges right there?
yes, that would be great. And apparently once November is over, we could use some of that Patreon money to get me a razor, because it would be like that scene in Insurrection. Remember when Riker came out, he's all shaved up good, and Data takes a little feel and just kind of walks away rolling his eyes. So that's what we're gonna do. So hope you guys subscribe to our channel
or touch the beard through Facebook. The screen.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're gonna be here more. So we'd love to have you.
Yes. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We are Beyond Trek Podcast. Lower your inhibitions and surrender your years. We will add inspirational and hilarious Trek content to your day. Your attention will adapt to subscribe to us. Resistance is futile.